when somebody tells you a story and you didn't see it happen, it's just a story. When you actually watch it and then you hear about it afterwards, you can bear witness to it. Amen? You actually saw the transformation happen. You actually saw the life lived. You saw it all happen. Well, I had a great opportunity to watch Brad, to watch him when he was broke. I remember a night me and Ben, my brother Ben, jumped in the car and we drove out to I was building a house in Stafford and drove out to that house to meet Bradley. We walked in the door and Bradley was laying tile in my house, and just to see the frail piece of humanity. And you might be here this morning and you might be in that same place. You might be in a place of just destruction. You might be in a place where you say, I just don't know where to turn. And I believe at one moment, Brad was there. I believe I saw him at that point. I believe we saw him there that night. There's one difference that I see in men like Bradley. And maybe men or women like you this morning. He made a decision that he was never going back. And, you know, I honor him this morning. This morning, I'd like to honor my parents. They're not here, but I'm only up here because they've just been great, faithful servants to God's house. This doesn't just happen. You know, this takes time. It takes commitment. And I just want to honor them. Would you give them a hand this morning? I love my parents dearly. I don't get to see them a lot during the week. Last week, I got to spend the entire week with my parents, and I can honestly say my mom rode with me all week. My mom did, and I just got to spend some great time with her. You know, as you get older, you cherish moments like that just a little more, don't you? And so it was a great week. I'd also like to honor two men that are very special to me. I'd like to honor my brother Garrett this morning. Would you give him a hand this morning? He's doing just an excellent job leading worship with great input. We talk about people like Jack Wagner. We talk about people with great influence in the community, great knowledge, a great background in finance. Garrett is another one of them people. He'll have his doctorate in corporate finance. Would you give him a hand again? Well, he's being humble up here. He's being humble. He says, I'm almost done with my MBA, but he's going to continue on. He's got another year left. But what's a year when you talk 8 years, right? So, and I'd also like to honor someone else who's very, very special to me. It's the guy that I kind of, he was my cohort in doing everything we shouldn't do and everything we should do. A guy I shared a bedroom with, a guy that slept above me on the top bunk, and at 2 or 3 in the morning, all of a sudden I'd hear boom, and Ben was laying down next to me. Would you give him a hand this morning? And if you can't tell, I love my family very much. I want to honor my wife this morning. I couldn't be up here if it wasn't for her weekly, daily, hourly, keeping me in line. Amen. All the husbands said amen. Amen. This morning, I'd like to make a reference of Scripture, just one reference of Scripture. I won't be long this morning. I know everybody's wanting to get their dip and chips set up, so I won't be long at all. 1 Kings 19, if you're interested in turning there, 1 Kings 19, I'll begin to read at verse 17. And it shall come... It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So he departed from there and found Elijah the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" So Elijah turned back from him. I want to read verse 20 again, and I want to make a specific reference here this morning. And if you know the story, I'd like you to release where your mind just went about what I'm going to share this morning. And I would like you just to receive what the Lord has this morning. Verse 20, "And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Please let me kiss my mother and my father, and then I will follow you.' And he said to him, 'Go back again.'" He said, "Go back." He said, "Go back." Father, in Jesus' name, I pray this morning by the power of your word and the working of your Holy Spirit that you do what I can't do in my own strength. Father, anoint me, O Lord. Use me for your glory. I pray that your power will break out on the left and on the right, and not one ear would leave this room without a sense that you were here. There was nothing too hard for you, O Lord. I'll never go back, Lord. Lord, give me the clarity of heart and the integrity of spirit to preach your word this morning, to communicate your ways this morning. Let me be your vessel, Lord. Let there be no flesh glory in your sight. But Father, I ask and pray and beg of thee that you get all the glory. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm a crier, so I just bring the tissue with me. I used to hate crying. Now I love to cry because I know the Holy Spirit is working in me. It's an outward expression of an inward working. Amen? In the last couple of years, I've been forced to look at life somewhat different. I've been forced to look at the way I live, the way I wake up every morning, the way I process my life, just a little bit different. Let me take you back just a couple years, if you give me just a few minutes. Two, 3 years ago, it was a couple days before Christmas, and I received a phone call from my mother. My mother does not call me during the week. She knows I'm busy. She knows I am working. We were raised to work. We were not raised to be on the phone at work. We were raised when we were at work to pay attention to business, to take care of business, and to do what we were being paid for, nothing else. So when my mother calls me during the day, I know that there's something specific that she has to talk to me about. I picked the phone up. She says, "Your father's been rushed to the emergency room. I need you to go there now." I said, What do you mean?" She said, "He was walking up the stairs of the church. He lost his breath. He lost his step. He fell. He's on the way to the ER. I don't know how he got there. He probably ran over there or something. I don't know, but knowing him. But he got over there, and I walked into the ER room. I walked into the room, and he said, "What are you doing here?" I'm not kidding you. He's in the ER. He's asking me, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, you're in the ER, and Mom's an hour away, and she called me and asked me to come and see you. I told her not to call you boys. Go back to work." I said, "Well, Dad, this time I'm not going to go back to work. I'm going to stay with you." The ER doctor walked in, and he began to give the ER doctor a hard time. If you know my dad, he hates hospitals. It's not that he hates the people that work there. He just hates the hospital. And he told the doctor, what do you need to give me? Give me whatever medication I need. I have things to do. I have to move on." And the doctor began to tell him, "Marty, we did a CAT scan on you, and the only time we've ever seen a CAT scan like this was in an autopsy of a dead person. Your lungs are full of blood clots. You should be dead right now. You're not, though. You're here with us. Marty, you need to lay there and just be quiet. And when she said that, I was like, yes. Because she politely said, shut up, right? Right? The men know. When your wife tells you, in different words, shut up, we get it, right? So let me fast forward that, you know, that goes through smoothly. You know, they put him on blood thinners, the whole thing, you know, and he comes in the next week and, you know, I'm fine and the whole thing, right? And then some time passes. And we lose that recollection, right? We lose that reality. Time passes and we just move on with life and it's like, nothing ever happened. You know, Dad just went through a moment and, right, Mike? We just go through a moment and Mike Flannery had a heart attack some time ago. Am I right? Heart attack? Yeah. About the same time, wasn't it? Yeah, about the same time. And so you get past that. I get this other phone call. I'm at work again. And whenever Mom calls me, there's something wrong. Am I that bad, Rufus? Calls me. Mom's on the phone, right? Mom's on the phone. Mom, what is going on? These are the conversations we have. Mom, what is going on? You're calling me at work again. Well, is Dad in the hospital? No, Dad's not in the hospital. Dad's fine. I said, what's going on? Well, do you have a few minutes? Well, whenever I hear that, either from my wife or from my mom, I know the gig's up. I got to just time out on life. I shut the door, right? I shut the door, and she begins to tell me. She says, they found a lump. She says, you remember, Ryan, when I told you that they didn't want to give me another mammogram? They said that the insurance wouldn't cover it. I said, yeah, Mom, I remember. She said, well, I went anyways. Because of our family history, I went anyways, and they took the mammogram, and they found this lump. And we didn't know what it was or anything, so I had some tests done. And I'm just calling to tell you, Ryan, that I have breast cancer. Man, you get that call from your mom. I don't care how tough you are. It will rip your heart out. Couldn't even process it. Couldn't even get through the process of it. Don't wait until that moment, sons, daughters. Don't wait until that moment in life to have a connection with your parent. We get through that. Mom goes through chemo. We watch her. You know, we went for the last day, and she rang the bell, and she got through it. She came up and, you know, she couldn't hug anybody. She couldn't kiss anybody. She couldn't even shake a hand. The doctors told her, don't be around people. So people would come up and people would get offended. I just can't. So we had a service one week and I asked her to come down and people flooded the altar to hug her and kiss her. And we get through that and get on the other side of that. And I'm thinking, I'm exempt. I'm strong. I'm able. I'm able, buddy. I'm young. I get this. There's a Thursday night. We have a great worship service. Get done. I walk over on the side, and I got this text message on my phone. There's a name on there that I rarely see on my phone. No, I'm just kidding. She don't need to text me. It's Amanda. Ben's been rushed to the ER. Get over to the ER. I beat the ambulance to the ER. I get over to the ambulance, and I see Ben getting pulled in. He's waving. I said, okay, he's alive. Thank God for that. Get over there. Long story that I'm not going to get into, but gets home, goes back to work the next day. So he calls me on the phone And he said, "Hey, dude, I don't feel right." I said, "I'll be up there in a half hour. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to take you to Buffalo General. I want you to get looked at." Sometimes you got to kick somebody in the rear for them to do the right thing, right? Calls me back. My dad calls me back. He said, "Hey, I was on WDCX. I just got done. I picked your brother up. Don't come. We're on our way there." Well, that began, I don't know how long, he was in a week or whatever. He had a stroke. And I can remember walking in to the hospital, and I can remember watching my brother. I'll never admit this again. My brother's stronger than me all day. Never admit it again. It'll never happen again. I walk into that hospital, and he says, can you help me change rooms?" "What do you mean, can I help you change rooms?" He began to get up, and he began to walk, and he could barely hold himself up. I said, "Dear God, what in the world is going on? First it's Dad, then it's Mom, then it's Ben." And I said in the hospital room, "If you keep this up, it's going to be me with a heart attack." You're forced at certain points in life to get a different perspective. You're forced to make a shift in the way you look at life. It's not just day by day. It's not just, oh, we just exist. We just go to the through the motions. We just do the same old thing. We just live the same old lifestyle. I was in church my whole life. My whole life. I don't have the story that these guys do. I don't have the story. My story is my mother and father woke us up every Sunday morning and said, "Get out of bed. You're going to church." And I'd go to church and I'd hear these words, "Life is a vapor." And you know what would happen? In this ear and out the other. Until I was slapped in the face with the reality of mortality. I don't say this to be negative. I didn't say this to sadden you. I say this to remind you before it happens that the clock of life is ticking. Tick, tock. Tick, tock. I promise you this. You'll either get old or you'll die young. So every moment, every fleeting moment is important. We cannot let the enemy steal our most important resource, time. Maybe I think too much. Maybe I make this reference and you cross your arms and you say, "You know what, that's great for you, but maybe it'll take me to get to that circumstance." I pray that it doesn't. I pray that you're not like me, blockheaded, showing up in service every week, just listening to words and watching the clock to run out the back door. I pray you're not that person. We struggle day in and day out. You know why we go through the motions? Because we struggle day in and day out for acceptance. We want to be accepted so bad. You ever see people change their hair? They change their hair year in and year out. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just making a reference. So people change haircuts. They change the shirt. My wife got me this shirt. Pretty shirt, isn't it? But we buy clothes and we spend money and do all kinds of things just so we can fit, just so we can feel like I fit. Problem with that. The issue with that, the confrontation with that is you weren't meant to fit. You. I'm talking to you. You weren't meant to fit. You weren't meant to fit in. My kids, "Mom, can I get my hair cut like this? Can I get my, whatever. Not buzz their head, Sam." I'm old fashioned, sorry. We struggle to fit in. We struggle for acceptance. We chase it. But some of us never fit in. For one reason or another, we are not accepted because of social status. If not that, the color of our skin. If not that, our academic status. If not that, we go back to our families, and for some odd reason, with our own people, with our own kind, you ever been there? You just didn't feel like you fit. This is the single greatest issue that I see within the church. We're all trying to fit the mold of society. We were never made to fit. The Lord made us unique. We need to understand who we are and what we were made for. Don't you just long for that? Don't you just cry out to the Lord? I don't care if you're 20. I don't care if you're 40. I don't care if you're 80. What? I had lunch with a gentleman. He's 80 years old. Looked at me like I'm looking at you right now. And said, Marty, I was with my dad. I was with a couple other men. And this gentleman looked at us and said, what am I here for? What does he keep sparing me for? Single greatest question. What was I made? Who am I? We get to the point where we have to make self-analysis. An analysis of what God would have for our own lives. We get to the point where we stop asking people and we mature to the point where we begin to ask the manufacturer of the problem, of the product. Who is the manufacturer? Who is our manufacturer? Man, when you see a baby born, my sister and brother-in-law, you see a baby born, it just revives your faith. Your faith just rises. There's more than us. God, why did you make me the way you made me? I'm to the point of being over gossip, the calls, the latest scoop, the nonsense. There was a time where I wanted to hear it. There was a time where I engaged in the gossip. Do you know what he did? Do you know what she did? Did you see the way he came in or she came in? There was a time where I loved to hear it, but now there's just something in me where I hear it and I want to run. I'm not worried about what this one does or that one does. I'm worried about my own frail humanity. What did you send me here for, oh Lord? What did you make me for? When we start asking these questions, listen to this. When we start asking these questions, we are at the point of maturing. But not until we stop asking people and start asking him. I don't need to critique your kids when we get together. A lot of parents in here. You ever have get your kids together with other people and be on your best behavior. Do the right thing. Make sure you put the greatest show on. Because we're worried about others critiquing. And people do it. You can know people. Some people for years, I mean, we grew up as PKs, pastor's kids, right? Everybody, well, I can't believe Ben said that. I can't believe, yeah, there was a lot of them. I can't believe Ryan did that. I can't believe Garrett did that. It's funny, though. Somebody said before service, we all put our pant legs on the same way, don't we? I don't need to critique you. I don't need to critique your kids. I need to work on me. I need to ask the Lord to work on us. I'm not here to point the finger. I am at a place of working on my own potential. Potential. Potential can be a frustrating thing. There's a difference between potential and performing and being used at the level of your potential, isn't there? We get to the point where we feel like we have potential, something within us, something inside of us. When we start asking the question, God, what was I made for? We start feeling this overwhelming sense of something within us greater than ourselves, don't we? We forget about all the nonsense. We begin to concentrate on what God has for us. And he comes back when we start talking about potential. Come on. Come on in, Rufus. I feel as though I'm in a test. I feel life testing me to fill in the blanks before my time has passed me by, before my clock stops. Something within me says, there's a question, there's potential, there's something driving me bigger than my own life. What am I here for? What have I been sent for? Don't you get hungry to be around people, creative thinkers, people who look for the potential within you. Within you. This is where I pick up the scripture. Elisha is in the field with the 12 yoke of oxen. He's on the 12th plow. They are doing the same thing, all 12 men. Doing the same thing with the same method. And really, there's nothing wrong with that. The only difference is Elijah, and maybe you, something driving him absolutely insane called potential. Nagging in his spirit, saying, I think I could be more than this. I'm doing the same thing, but I believe I was made for more. Hitting the same old rocks, hitting the same old roots, plowing, going through the same old motion, showing up to work, doing the same. Have you ever been there? Just feel like you're going in a big circle, and you just end up in that. You go to a great service. Hey! Hey! Great worship. The word comes and you walk out the door and you're back right on the same old plow. Boom. Hit that rock again. And people will tell you, people will look at you and they'll say, you got a great life. You got a great job. You got a great family. You got a great house. You got it all going on. This party is great. Hang out with us. It's all good stuff. What's the matter with you? Why are you uncontent? And you can't even explain why you aren't content. But there's something deep within you that says, I was made for more than this. I'm sick of the routine. I'm done plowing day in and day out. I'm done doing the same old thing. We have something inside of us that's bigger than we are. I'm tired of laughing at stuff that's not funny. I'm tired of dumb things. I'm tired of acting like I don't see what I see and I know what I know. I'm tired of the old dumb things. I'm tired of trying to fit in where I don't belong. I'm tired of dumb things. Elisha is an uncommon man caught in a common situation. Isn't it so common? Isn't it so common? Meet people every day. Just a hole. Hole. Unhappy. Through the flesh eyes, they look great. Somewhere deep inside. Such a common situation. I'm going to switch. I've been talking about Elisha. I want to talk about Elijah. Elijah, in the scriptures before what I read, he's on Mount Carmel. And remember the story, he's with the prophets, 450 prophets to one. He's one man. There's 450 prophets of Baal. Stay with me for a minute. I'm talking about Elijah, the prophet. I talked before about Elisha, the young man, the boy. Elijah now, he's on the hill, he's on Mount Carmel. He calls fire down from heaven. The scripture says that there was solid stone that was licked up. The fire licked it up. And God performed a great and mighty miracle. He meets this woman. He meets this woman. I got your attention now, didn't I? He meets this woman called Jezebel. He heard her voice of intimidation and was driven up underneath the juniper tree. And the scripture says that he asked the Lord, take my life. Yes, he was suicidal. The great man of God, the man that called fire from heaven, won against 450 prophets of Baal. He saw the mighty works of God. He saw what God could do. He got in front of one issue and he ran like a deer in headlights. You ever ran from a woman? Yeah, don't raise your hand. But his tragedy was God's tool of direction. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. For God moved him from the mountain where the glory of God was to the juniper tree, to the cave where God rearranged him. Where we pick up the scripture and God begins to speak to Elijah to teach him and train him in the cave of his life. You ever been in the cave of your life? You ever been up against something so big that you ran and hid? And you got inside that cave and you said, just, Lord, I just don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, because you got away from the noise, God spoke a word of direction. And he says this to Elijah. I'm about to be finished. He says these words to Elijah. He says, go down. Go down the hill and anoint Hazael. And anoint Jehu. And anoint Elisha, the boy. Elisha. To succeed you as the prophet. Elijah came down from the cave of light and walked with a sense of direction. Do you walk different when the Lord speaks to you? When you're doing the king's business, it changes your thought and temperament. Elisha is plowing. Remember the boy? Elisha is plowing, doing the same old thing, asking the Lord. I'm tired. I'm sick of following this dumb oxen. I'm tired of living the same old life. Elijah, the mighty man of God, comes walking down the hill with direction from God. Walks by 11 other men. Walks over to Elisha. And the scripture says that the mantle just rubbed over the top of him. Elijah dropped everything. What did he do? He followed Elijah. He listened. He passed the first test. Listen to me. I'm almost done. He passed the first test. Will you follow? I'm asking you, will you follow? Will you follow when he calls your name? Second test. Gets down the road and Elijah looks back and there's Elisha. And Elisha says, hey, I need to go back. My mother and my father are back there. Just let me kiss them and I'll come back. And Elijah says, go back. Remember me reading that? He says, go back. You know what Elisha does? Turns around and heads back. And if you read the scripture, you can almost get a sense through the Holy Spirit that he went back and he was saddened. But he went back to that plow. And I bet you he thought about it for a second. I bet you he pondered it for a minute. But you know what he did? He took the plow and he broke it. He broke it into pieces. He threw it in a pile And he got a match and he lit it on fire. Then he went to the oxen that he had followed for years. Went to the oxen. He killed the oxen. Threw the oxen on the fire. He killed what he didn't want to go back to. I've gone a long way to ask you this. Are you ready to kill what you'll never go back to? A lot of men, can I just be real for a minute? Can I just be real for a minute? A lot of men, they'll get in a state of loneliness. They'll get in a state of discouragement, and they'll pull that old thing out, and they'll go back to it. A lot of women, your husband will irritate you, work, something goes on, and you go back to that old thing. I'm speaking through the unction of the Holy Spirit right now. Just look at me real confused. Everybody won't think it's you. I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. My father asked me to bring this barrel out, have you write something down. When he told me that, I said, that doesn't work with my message at all. No, he says, use the barrel. I want you to use the barrel. The Lord gave me this message for this morning. I want you to, before you leave, I'm going to close right now. I want you before you leave, husbands, I don't want you to look at your wife. Wives, I don't want you to look at your husband. I want you to write down what you know the Holy Spirit is drawing on your heart about. You know you need to get beyond it. You know you need to move past it. You know you need to let it go. There'll be people in here, I just don't have anything like that. Be transparent with the Holy Spirit this morning. He already knows. There's every person in this room has something they can write down and say, Lord, I'm done. I'm done with it. I want you to get a pen. I want you to get a piece of paper out right now. I want you to just write it down. Wives, please don't look at what your husband is writing, because there could be a miracle that's about to happen in this room right now. Young man, young woman, write it down. Believe and receive the power, the presence, the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm going to pray. And I want you, when you write it down, I want you to get right up out of your seat. And I want you to begin to bring this down. I'm going to give you my word on something. I'm going to give you my word that everything in this barrel will be burned. I'm going to give you my word. I will personally make sure of it. Don't resist the calling of the Holy Spirit right now. I don't care if you're an elder. I don't care if you're a leader. I don't care if you're a pastor. I don't care if you're a prophet. I don't care who you are. There's something that you could write down and say, Holy Spirit, I need your assistance. I need your help moving from this. Come now. Father, we just thank you for what you've done in your house. Father, we just thank you for the working, the power of your Holy Spirit, that you help us do what we can on our own. I'm so aware, Father, that you intercede on our behalf, that you make us and you enable us to do what we can't do. There's a husband here that has struggled for so long. He can't leave what he's been attached to for years, and he's hidden for years. There's a wife here that she's hidden it for so long. She's gone from relationship, from person to person, hiding it, keeping it in the corner, for something to go back to. I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll minister to every heart, that you'll speak to every spirit in this house, God, and that you'll make the change that only you can make. That only you can make. Not a barrel can make it. Not a piece of paper can make it. Not my message can make it, but by the power and the working of your Holy Spirit, you can make the change. Father God, I thank you for this house. Lord, I'm so grateful for pastors. So grateful for leaders. I'm so grateful for the men and women of God in this house. Lord, I pray that there be an explosion, just a gully wash of your presence and your Holy Spirit in this, in these times, in these services. Lord, I pray that it would break, your spirit would break out in this house in new measure, in new heights. Father, we submit our lives to you afresh and new. If you were embarrassed to come down now, if you didn't feel comfortable, I know not everybody came down. But I want to ask you, ma'am. I want to ask you, sir, before you leave here, walk it down. I want to tell you something before we go. You are called to something specific within God's kingdom. This message wasn't to say that everyone's going to be a pastor. This message was not to say that everyone will be a prophet. It's not to say that if you leave with that idea, you left with the wrong thing. The idea is to say there's something that we need to leave in the past. And secondly, you're called to something specific. Would you say amen this morning? You guys, I love you to death. I really do. I love this church. It means the world to me. I tell people this and they think I'm just talking. It's just lip service. I mean it. I wouldn't know what to do without this church, without my friends, my brothers all over the place. I could name 20 names of just brothers all over the house that mean you can't do life alone. You cannot. I'm telling you, I've been around church. I've been around people all my life. I've been exposed to great men and women of God. When they try to do it alone, it just doesn't work. Can somebody say amen? Amen. There is a marriage, Lenny, yell it. Next Saturday, what do you call it? A marriage? It's going to be fun. If you don't know Lenny and Robin Brill, you're just missing out on life. They're awesome people. Next Saturday, right? Next Saturday, what's that? Love in Action. Thank you, Lori. Love in Action. And I know there's some couples that need it. If you need help, listen to me. If you feel alone and you just say, I don't know who even to get to help me with my kids, is that something we can help with? Everybody's looking at me like, huh? Yeah, that's something we'll help with. I want you to call the church office during the week. If you need help with child care because you just don't have anybody and you want to get connected, we'll help you with that this week. I love you. I care for you. My passion, my love is in this church and in Christ himself. Would you say amen this morning? You're dismissed. Thank you.